out shortly here, and H minus 10 seconds, the countdown will come directly from the timing and firing trailer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
This is Publius bringing you a step farther out. Your weekly radio message from the Man and Atom Society. This is Publius, yes, and it is Publius in Munich on the 16th of May, Saturday, in the glorious future year of 2026. And as you can tell by my as you can tell by my slight lack of coherency, I am very tired at the moment. Now, that's very curious. Very curious indeed. Service is not nearly as good on Sundays. I'm sorry, I'm a little, am I making any sense at all? Okay. Yes, I'm a little spaced out at the moment and not in the way I prefer to be. Okay, yeah. Let's see, what am I saying to you today? First thing I'm going to do is to acquaint you with my further travel plans. Yesterday I went with SDFer Kuma to Freilassing, which is a very interesting place. It is the last station before you cross the Austrian border and go to Salzburg when you're coming from the direction of Munich. And so that was a... It has an excellent railway museum. So yes, Wednesday I plan to go to Berlin because no, yes, yes. Wednesday I plan to go to Berlin for the Nuclearia meeting, Stammtisch, as they call it in German, regular meeting of the Nuclearia members in the Berlin region, and then Thursday there is a Nuclearia meetup in Munich, and so I intend to attend both of those with, among other things, the what I may have told you about already, I kind of forget. Something, no, I wouldn't have told you about it yet, because the idea only came to me, one of these ideas that comes to you when you wake up way too early. The Man and Atom Briefing Book. Okay, so the Man and Atom Briefing Book is something I've done for quite a while, and it's typically either 11x17 or A3 format, doesn't matter which. Right, they're very similar. And it takes up a lot of space, is the only problem, right? So the large format means that you get decent reproduction of the big poster-sized images of nuclear power plants, for example, and big charts conveying information, all that kind of thing. Unfortunately, It also takes up a lot of space. So I had the idea, I had the brainwave of a Man and Atom briefing book compact edition, which is actually the same size except the pages are folded over. So the formatting has to be different. Anyway, and I'm messing with that currently. One thing I can't understand is why I can't find an office supply store in Munich. There used to be one right downtown that had been there for more than 200 years, and then it closed. Just a couple of years ago. 200 years, imagine that. But no, I cannot find a full-service office supply shop in Munich. The best I can find is these places that say Schreibwaren over the top, and they sell a little bit of school supplies, some greeting cards, cigarettes, and lottery tickets. The Schreibwaren people, they don't seem to have a, I don't know, they don't seem to, I mean, some of them carry, you know, they'll carry a smattering of office supplies. So, like, you know, you'll find binders, maybe, you know, your... Anyway, so some of the common stuff, but they don't carry a full line. And I haven't yet found one that carries, in German they're called Plastikbinderrücken. Anyway, but the comb spine and things used for comb binding. Anyway, because I bought some in a shop which wasn't much bigger in, of all places, Blackpool, and I bought a box on clearance for £2, which is a decent deal, even though it was more than half what I paid for the binding machine, but anyway, that's not important. What's important is that I bought only this box that was on clearance because I wasn't sure they were the right ones, because there's two different systems anyway, that they look the same, but they're not compatible. And I actually have a booklet, one of the booklets I scanned recently from Dungeness B Nuclear Power Station is comb-bound, but in a system which is incompatible with the comb-binding machine that I have. Yay. Anyhow, so the important part here, if I haven't lost track of it yet, is that I want to comb-bind these things. Really, it's a mock-up that I've made of the Man and Atom briefing book compact edition. But I can't get the binding combs, at least not without, not without ordering them online, I guess. That's the answer. Which is really quite annoying. I don't understand why these things are the way they are. I don't understand the world at all. But I'm hoping that I will say the compact edition is somewhat more costly to produce than the regular edition. And the reason is that I've been The reason is that when I lay out the briefing book, I make it so that you have color images on two sides of a sheet, black and white images on two sides of a sheet. And so the black and white sheets are can be printed more cheaply, basically. When you pay to print large, you know, when you pay to have something printed, the color costs more. Well, a sheet with color on one side and black and white on one side costs just as much as a sheet with color on both sides. So by alternating between color and black and white sheets, I can save money. And you can't effectively do that with the compact edition, or at least I haven't yet figured out how. That's the key. Anyway, so yes, then Friday I am going back to Britain for a brief period. I think I'm going to stay in Blackpool again. Seemed like a nice enough place. But yeah, going back to Britain on Friday the 22nd of May. Yeah. And that was an odd one because I discovered that, you know, normally the so there's a limited number of seats available for Europass users on the Eurostar trains. And then when they sell out, then you have to pay full price. Anyway, and normally the ones from Paris to London sell out first, but for some reason on the 22nd there were none available from Brussels to London, but plenty from Paris to London. Didn't figure out what that was about. Doesn't matter. Anyway, but yes, then returning to Munich on the 27th, Wednesday the 27th, and then the following week, right, June 3rd, I am leaving here for Warsaw. From Warsaw, I go to Gdansk. Gdansk, I take a ferry for a place called Nynäshamn in Sweden, which is in the Stockholm metro area. And then I get on a second ferry in Stockholm, same day, and cross over to Helsinki. In Helsinki, I attend a friend's birthday party, and then the following day, take a flight to the U.S. So I'm in the U.S. from June 7th to June 27th. Back in Germany, I fly to Zurich on the 27th, arriving on the 28th. The 28th, shortly thereafter, I go to the European Science Fiction Convention in Berlin. Sometime in mid-July, I return to the United States for the foreseeable future. I don't know when I will be going to Europe after that. This is pretty much, this is as far as I know to go. And I'm kind of a mess about this because, well, for a number of reasons. One of which is that over the course of the past 10 years in which I've been spending, you know, typically 4 months, 16 to 20 weeks in Europe out of every year, I've moved a bunch of my stuff here, things that I didn't want to be without for long periods. And so I have to find some way of getting that back to the USA. Now, some of it, at least, I could mail, or at least I used to think that was the solution, but now they've imposed these tariffs, and it becomes very difficult and expensive, unexpectedly, to mail things from Europe to the USA. Quite aside from the horribly high postage rates, that is. If they even, you know, you'll pay the horrible postage rate, and then they arrive in the USA, and can you get them without paying a huge indemnity? It's not clear. And so that's, you know, am I going to have to make a couple of short trips each time coming over with a carry-on and going back with two suitcases? I'm not sure. I genuinely don't know. And of course, the USA isn't the ideal place for me to be right at this juncture. Quite aside, I mean, Germany isn't perfect. You know, Germany's current chancellor is one of these people who claims that everything that goes wrong is caused by somebody else from somewhere else. I don't like that at all. But, you know, the simple fact is that for the past 10 years, I've been spending a lot of time here because I had a place to stay here, and it's not clear that's going to be true after sometime this autumn. So I don't know what to do about that. And, of course, the other side of that is that because I've been spending so much time in Europe, I have been neglecting things back in Texas to a great extent. There's a lot of things that I haven't done because they're not practical to do when you're not there the whole time. And that includes income-producing activities. You know, things that I do quite well, like academic tutoring. You can't do academic tutoring if you're not available for at least the whole semester, if not the whole academic year. It just doesn't work out. To try and do it wouldn't be fair to the students, but it's not practical. And so I find myself very much at a loss to know, you know, what's next for me. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep doing nuclear energy and space advocacy, right? But what else I do is very unclear. So now you know as much as I do. Aside that, I'm presumably going to be in the U.S. during the time when the World Science Fiction Convention is being held in Los Angeles this year, and so I will try to attend. That's about all I can say about that. So, is there anything material that I have to say instead of just sort of complaining and babbling about my life situation? Yes. Yes, there is. So, I looked at an interesting... One thing that I'm not going to do, however, I thought about trying to go to Mulhouse in France on Sunday tomorrow as a day trip, but I'm not going to try to do that because I've been looking at the connections on a weekday. It's not bad if you go by Zurich, but on a Sunday the connections are not as good, and so the trip takes longer. And even if you leave at 8:48 a.m., you only get there rather late, after 1500, and I want to have more time than that to see the Museum of Electricity there, the EDF Museum. Now, I definitely want to go to the EDF Museum in Mulhouse. I don't know if I'm going to do it Tuesday, though, simply because I'll just be, you know, going to Berlin the next day. And that might be too much stuff too close together. But I might do it after I get back, say Friday, after I get back from Britain this next time. One way or the other, I do intend to go there, and I intend to take some of my pro-nuclear propaganda and give it to the people at the museum. As if Electricité de France has a museum of electricity, you know, they are one of the world's, they are perhaps the world's foremost generator of nuclear electricity, considering that they operate not only the nuclear power plants in France, but also those in Britain. Anyway. So yeah, there was I saw a piece online, and I've linked it in today's, Step Farther Out archive post on anonradio.net. But I saw this piece about something that's happened in Romania recently, and the writer is trying to make the case for battery electric storage systems for the grid. But what he really does is provide a stunning indictment of the whole electricity market system. So I should sort of explain what's going on here. So, as you may know, the Romanians have two nuclear power generating units at a site called Cernavoda. So they have one nuclear power plant with two reactors, Canadian style CANDU reactors. And early in May, those were both, well, early in May, they had a little problem, which was that one of the transformers at Cernavona Unit 2 had a problem. The operator, out of an excess of caution, decided to shut down the unit while waiting to replace the damaged transformer. And this caused a problem because Unit 1 shut down on schedule on May 10th for planned maintenance. So here's the thing. This knocked out 1,400 megawatts of firm generation from the Romanian power grid. Suddenly they're short. Now, because of the electricity market system, Romania has been selling excess electricity at 50 euros a megawatt hour and buying electricity at 250 euros a megawatt hour, right? Because, like a lot of countries today, they have, for political reasons, sunk lots and lots of money, or encouraged and allowed people to sink lots and lots of money into forms of electrical generation which provide supply at times unrelated to demand. And that by itself would be dumb enough. But this is where the electricity market system really comes into play, right? This is where it comes into its own. I talked last week even about the stupidity of negative power prices which can arise. That's just another example, but fundamentally, what you have is a system where different generators offer, let's say on an hourly basis, the amount of power they have that they can provide. And each generator has something, some price that they ask. And you bid into the market with a certain number of megawatt hours at a certain price. And it gets up to a certain point, all these megawatt hours stack, right? You start with the cheapest ones and then you start stacking them on top of each other. And the last megawatt hour that meets the demand, that price is the price that everybody gets paid. That's the settlement price. The result is that price varies wildly over the course of a day. This is, of course, absolutely antithetical to the traditional rolled-in method of utility electric power pricing, which basically took all the generators and their aggregate cost of generation and how much time they operated over the course of a fairly long period, a month or a quarter, right, took the cost of that and divided it, you know, by the number of units supplied. Took the cost of generating the power, divided by the number of units supplied to get the unit price of power. And then, of course, you add the transmission distribution costs and a statutorily defined profit margin, and you give that bill to the customer. You know, that was the vertically integrated utility model. The market model was created to satisfy economists who said that, oh, this is horribly inefficient because it has two basic problems. Problem number one is it results in far too much investment being made in power systems. Now, this is where the utility people and the economists differ very much, because power utility people see it as important that utility power is available all the time. And so you have to have a certain surplus of generation, a certain surplus of transmission capacity to assure the customer that he will always have his utility power supply. Because if he isn't assured he'll always have his utility power supply, then he's going to go invest in his own power supply. And not only is that more expensive than utility power, but less expensive than utility power with outages, but also, and this is key, it makes the whole utility system not work. The whole utility system only works when everybody is pooled together. Anyway, but the economist said this is really inefficient. What you've got to do is make a system which assures that everybody who's buying electricity is charged according to the marginal cost of generating the last unit. And that way, in the future, when electricity gets more expensive to generate, then that'll save you a lot of grief. Because their other point of view was, well, yes, the history of electric generation is that the cost of a kilowatt hour has only ever fallen, right? So from the beginning, right up into the 1970s, the cost of generating a kilowatt hour fell and fell and fell and fell and fell and fell and fell monotonically. Never rose. Well, this freaked the economists out. They said, well, this can't possibly continue. Even at the moment that the nuclear scientists and engineers and technologists were preparing to roll out breeder reactor power plants and very large nuclear generating units, which they said, okay, well, you know, we're not getting huge gains in thermal efficiency the way we did in the past, but we still do have gains in cost effectiveness from larger unit sizes, and we can drastically reduce overall fuel costs, first by switching to nuclear fuel and then by switching to the breeder cycle, the regenerative fuel cycle. The economists plugged up their ears and shouted la 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 la, because the idea of monotonic decrease in costs was offensive to them. And so they had to come up with a system which would make this impossible. And to a great extent, the energy market system, it makes it very difficult to build, for example, large nuclear power units. One of the reasons for the popularity of the small modular reactor idea is simply that the capital that you need for a large nuclear generating unit is difficult to secure in areas which have this liberalized electricity market scheme. The problem, right, the problem is that nobody ever asked the question, what does economic efficiency mean? Because economists will tell you that they can calculate, and if you follow their rules, you get the most efficient allocation of resources. Nobody ever asks most efficient for what? Because as it turns out, the answer is most efficient in the terms that they define. It's very, very circular reasoning. I'm not kidding here, right? It's relatively straightforward to show from classical economics that inequality increases, income inequality, wealth inequality, and so on, increase when you have a system which is economically efficient. And so the economists just say, well, inequality is good. Right, whatever the outcome of their theory is, they define as the optimum. And then say, well, our theory is good because it gives the optimum results. This is not wise. If I ever agree with Margaret Thatcher, you know, you might say, kick me. But no, the truth is, you know, she made a joke about wanting to ban economists, and she wasn't necessarily wrong in that. But yeah, economists. I'm not a huge fan. But one way or the other, write to me. Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas 76101, United States of America. I'll read your letters when I get there in June. Probably send you something in return when you send me something. And other than that, if you'd like to encourage me, again, money is always welcome. PayPal.me/PrometheusLives for a recurring contribution, patreon.com/man_and_Adam. And coming up next is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe.